Folks, you're all very welcome to your watch night service tonight. We do trust you'll know God's blessing as we see you in the new year together. There are some faces that I don't recognize, so if I don't recognize you, you're very welcome anyway. And we want to invite you all to come and have a wee cup of tea with us after the service, around on solid ground. Somebody had texted me earlier on, but what time does this start? And would it be okay to come in your jammies? Well, it's going to be that much. There's not going to be that much time between when we leave here to come back. We could have all came in our jammies and just all bunked down, but we will stay for a cup of tea after this, before we come back a few hours later for church tomorrow again. In Revelation, these words are written. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That is the great picture we have in Revelation. And we know when we read through Revelation, there's that great picture of worship, of the throne. And whenever we sing in church, it's really like choir practice. If we believe we're going to be in heaven one day, we're going to stand and sing before the throne. And God will be there, and the Lamb will be there, and the Spirit will be there. And we will be with all the saints and all the heavenly beings. Now, that's not going to be like that in here tonight. But I hope you can sense it as we stand together and sing our first piece of praise. I will worship. Now, this is a man's and a woman's part in this, isn't there? Okay, we'll do it. Is it written that way on the screen? On brackets. So, who goes first, men or women?
Men.
Men it is. So, men, we're singing the bit without the brackets, and ladies are singing the bit with the brackets. So, men, give a good cough there. We're going first. All right, let's all stand together and sing. Let's all bow our heads and pray together. Lord God, you alone are worthy of our praise. You are the great creator of all things. You created us out of love. You loved us so much. Even whenever your creation wrecked the perfection of what you had set in place, what you had put in motion, you loved us so much that you put a plan in place to save us. You put a plan in place that would include your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that we can, on a yearly basis, stop and have a season to remember all that Christ has done for us. His willingness to come from heaven to earth. His willingness to teach and step out and speak the truth in the face of opposition. And the courage to go to the cross. Even when he asked for the cup to be removed, but yet followed your will. And Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great plan to save us. It makes you and you alone worthy of our praise and our worship and our glory and our adoration. You are the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. That's all we can understand, Lord, is the beginning and the end. But we know that you're even beyond that because you are eternal. You were the one who started all that we see around us, and you will one day bring that to an end when Jesus returns to earth for a second time. And Lord, we thank you that we have all that we need to be ready for that return. We have all that we need in our salvation. We have all that we need because your Holy Spirit works and moves and speaks and prompts and leads and guides us to a place where we know Jesus died for us, and we are given the ability to receive Jesus, and then we're given the ability to live in this earth until our time is up. And Lord, we have this great promise. We have this great vision given to us in Scripture of that throne, and we know, Lord, when we are in Christ, that one day we will stand there and worship in a crowd that cannot be numbered. But yet you know them all. You know us all, Lord. You know us from the inside out, from our beginnings to our end. You know the plans that you have for us. You know the plans you had for us in the year that has just gone by. You know all the ways that we have fallen short in that plan. But we thank you, Lord, that when you promise to be with us and stay with us, you do that. You do stay with us and you walk with us, even when we're going the wrong way. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for all the wrong paths we have taken in 2016. And Lord, we know that we will not perfectly follow you in 2017. As we look forward to this new year, Lord, we know we're not perfect. But we ask that you would walk with us, that we would be close to you. That when we wander from the path you have for us, Lord, we would only wander a little before we realize and recognize we're doing the wrong thing. Lord, we ask that your forgiveness would be something that we would seek daily and know the feeling that we have been forgiven. Help us, Lord, to live in unity with one another. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Help us, Lord God, to ensure that we are living with the light of that salvation in our lives, so that even through those imperfections, people may see Jesus in our life. And the things that we do and say. And that in 2017, Lord, we would truly be your servants, doing all that you require of us. Because, Lord, you've done everything for us. So, Lord, we thank you as we just contemplate the year that has gone and as we look excitedly into the year that's coming. Lord, we want to see you. We want to be more like you. And we want to feel your presence in all that we do. And Lord, we ask that we would feel your presence in this short service tonight as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand again and sing Amazing Grace. It's a lovely song. We can sing it any time of the year. It's so relevant to us, and especially if we think of the year that's gone by. I'm sure each of us can think about the grace that has been poured out into each of our lives on a daily basis, even the days when things felt bad. We still felt God's presence pouring that grace out. Let's all stand together and sing Amazing Grace. I'd like to invite you to turn with me now in the Bible as we read God's Word together. I'm going to read a little passage here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're reading the last part there from verse 11 through the first two verses of chapter 6. This is Paul writing his second letter to the church in Corinth. This is the Word of God. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. And we ask God to bless us even as we read his word together. We gather now for the next 12 and a half minutes. It's not a Sunday morning, I tell you. 12 and a half minutes. And we have a song to sing yet as well. We gather today to think about an annual transition. 2016 is going out the window and 2017 is coming in. There we go. Out with the old and in with the new. And this will transition seamlessly. It does so every year. The clock ticks, 1 year leaves us, and a new year begins. But the passage that we've just been reading about is an entirely different transition. Something old has gone and something new has come. This transition and the passage that we've read, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. This is a one-time event. This doesn't happen annually. It happens once in our lifetime, we hope. This comes from God. The clock doesn't make this happen. God makes this happen. The passage tells us that God is reconciling to himself, through Jesus Christ, people. And it's not really a transition. We could call it something even better than that. It's a transformation, a real transformation, when we get rid of this old thing and we get this new thing, this old life, and we get this new life in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure as you sit here and contemplate 2016 leaving and 2017 coming in, the change in the calendar and the change in your life will not be as transformational as knowing Christ. But perhaps 2017 has some big events for you. Maybe you have a big birthday this year. a big significant birthday. We had a number of naughty ladies this year in our congregation. I have a photograph. I was going to put it up, but I forgot. Now, they're not N-A-U-G-H-T, no, N-O, they're naughty. They had a big zero. Maybe some of them are the other naughty as well, right enough, but we had 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, so it was quite a lot of ladies with knots. Maybe you've got a big birthday coming up. Maybe this is the year where you retire. Maybe you've been counting this down for the last 5 or 6 years. Huh? There's some heads shaking and some looking. Towards the back, everybody's looking at each other going, you're right, I can't wait. That's something that you know is coming up. For the front of the room, maybe this is the year that you will get the job that you've been waiting on, the job that you've been training for, the job that you really want. Maybe that's in the future, but you don't know. There'll be some things in 2017 that you're planning for that you know are coming up, some things that you won't. We have a number of weddings, for example, booked in for this year. Some people know they're getting married this year. Maybe some of you will have the question popped this year. Maybe some of you will meet your future husband or wife this year. They're not excited by that at all. Ronald, just keep the wallet well and firmly closed there, boy. I've heard people talking like that before, Faith. Perhaps 2017 will not be that transitional for you or transformational at all. Maybe in 2017 you will continue to live in the same old house. You will continue to do the same old job. You will continue to go to the same old school. You will continue to have the same old bank account. Not much will change. It means you have to live beside those same neighbors. It means you have to work with those same people. It means you have to go to school with those same people and listen to those same teachers and lecturers. All of those things. It means you will still have the same financial issues that you had in 2016. Maybe you will still have the same health issues that you had in 2016. Maybe your own personal health issues or the health issues of a family member or a friend. Maybe 2016 moving into 2017 will just be a continuation of the same old, same old, same old. But in this passage, it clearly tells us that the old has gone and the new has come. But there's something about the way that's worded that doesn't give us the full picture. Because it could read, and it should read perhaps something like this. The old has gone, the new has come, and is still coming. The old goes, but something new comes in. There was a passage earlier on that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, just back in Corinthians, that says, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. You see, this transformation that we have, this one-time event, is a one-time event. But it continues on. Not just annually, but it should go daily. It maybe should even go hourly. Every minute that ticks by, every second, we are being transformed. What are we being transformed into? Into the likeness of Christ. So whatever you see ahead of you in 2017, the things that you know and the things that you don't know, here's something that you know. If you are in Christ, 2017 is a new year of transformation into Christ-likeness. God has reconciled you through Christ by his grace. We've just been singing about that, amazing grace. Paul writes here that he's got this love of Christ that compels him to a life of worship. We know all about Paul's life, not all about it, but lots about it as we read through all of his letters, all the things written by him and about him. A life of worship. I will worship with all of my heart. I'm sure Paul would have sang along with us that hymn that we sang at the start of this short service. in Christ, Paul says, he has been reconciled, and he has also been given the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to say that God has committed to him the message of reconciliation to share with other people. He says that he is Christ's ambassador. And not only is he Christ's ambassador, but it is as though God is working through him to other people. Such is the transformation. But if you read that passage, if you go home and read those verses 18, 19, 20, verse 14 as well, he says this, love compels not me, he says, love compels us. He said God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, committed us to the message in verse 19. Verse 20, we are ambassadors. It's as if the appeal is being made through us. Verse 17, which is the key verse that we were sort of looking at, says if anyone is in Christ, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, has been and is being transformed. That's why Paul at the beginning of chapter 6 says this, as God's fellow workers. This is not just about Paul. This is about other people. So what we can say is this, everyone in Christ is being transformed to be Christ's ambassador. Not just to be like Christ, but to be his ambassador. If you are in Christ, then God is working through you for the world around you. That's what's going to be happening in 2017. So you see them old neighbors that you have to put up with. God is working through you to speak to those neighbors. You know that old job that you have to go to? God has you there. You see that old school that you have to go to? And them old stupid teachers that you have to listen to? God is working through you. Those illnesses that we have to deal with. I heard a lovely little story this week. No one from this part of the country at all. A man ended up in hospital there 2 weeks ago. And he was in the hospital. And he was in the ward with 6 beds. And he was in 1 bed. And there's an old wee man in the corner. And none of them wanted to be there. They're in hospital. Nobody wants to be in hospital. But this wee man said something. And then the boy across the road goes, hey fella, are you good living? And he says, I am a Christian indeed. He says, so am I. And the two of them realized that over the years they'd done a wee bit of singing in various different choirs and stuff. So what were the two boys found doing for the 3 days they were in hospital? Sitting in the corner singing gospel songs in a hospital. Sick, ill. God was working through them to the people around them in the hospital ward. The same old, same old. God may be using that same old to reach people, using you to be an ambassador. What would compel us to do this? Well, Paul says Christ's love compels us. In verse 14, it compelled him. Such was the love of God. He had to go out, and we know the circumstances and the situations that Paul found himself in. I'm not sure 2017 will hold. I hope none of you end up in jail in 2017. Paul found himself in prison for his faith. What did he do? He witnessed to whoever was chained to him. God used him, worked through him, even in those places. And what did he do with that love? Verse 20, we implore you, be reconciled to Christ. We implore you. That's what he did. God has reconciled you, if you are in Christ, to be his ambassador of reconciliation and transformation. That's what 2017 holds. Because, you see, if you think back, I don't know what year it was for you, but there would have been somewhere in your past when there was a day and there was a time when God heard you. There was a day and there was a time when God saved you. That's why Paul reminds him of that little piece of scripture. In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation,
I helped you. God wants you to be involved in somebody else's day and time. He wants you to be involved in that moment of transformation. Now, I had a plan not to take away anything that Norman does with TAP. I had a plan to give us all a 365-day prayer journal for 2017. But I had problems with my printer, so I memorized it. So we're going to commit it to memory. We're going to commit 365 days of prayer to memory right now. Okay, 365 days in the few seconds that we have left in this year. So 365 days of prayer is going to be memorized like this. Lord, help me be an ambassador of your transformational love today. Tomorrow morning, pray that. Then the next morning, pray again. Lord, help me be an ambassador of your transformational love today. Then the next day, what will you say? I know, Lord. You know their hearts better than I do, and I know they mean it better than that. They are a work in process. This will be your job. But maybe this won't be your job. Maybe this can't be your job because you haven't prayed this prayer yet. Lord, make me an ambassador of your love. Transform me. Make me into something new. That's what's going to happen in 2017, folks. People are going to be saved. Maybe it's you. Maybe this is going to be your day. There's going to be a time and a day for you in 2017. Or if you've had that time and that day, maybe 2017 is the day whenever your loved one, because of something you've said, because of something you have done, because you were there and you were going through those tough conversations, those embarrassing moments to get to that point. I'm excited by 2017. Yep, I've got the same old neighbours. I have to be careful because some of them might be in this room. I've got the same old job as most of you lot. I have the same old bank account. But I'm excited because I want to be involved in God's transformational love in 2017. This year. This is 2017. We'll sing and then we'll have a fake countdown. Don't look at your watch for the next 3.5 minutes. We're going to sing one piece. Come people of the risen King. That's who you are. You are a person who's been transformed by the risen King. Let's stand together and sing.
Come.
time, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain on us now, all through 17, and forevermore. Amen. 10, 9, 8. Okay, you want to be fast? 7, 6, 5, it's going to be 2018, 4, 3,